Welcome to the Bank Marketing Show, the podcast that engages and informs you for success in today's marketplace. It's the show that will make you a better marketer with trends, tactics, and inspiration from experts and industry leaders. If you're wanting to impact your personal success and position your bank as the best choice in your market, you're in the right place. Now let's dive into today's show with your hosts, Chris and Dan.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Bank Marketing Show. We're glad to have you with us today. We've got a good one on the books. Dan, we were talking a little bit before we started the show here, kind of who this one is for, since we're going to talk about tech.
Yeah.
And we didn't want to mislead anyone, because this show is actually certainly not just for IT folks. We're going to talk about tech from a strategy standpoint. And I think I told you, I was thinking the only people that need to listen to this episode are if you're in marketing, administration, business development, or sales, or have any responsibility whatsoever for organizational progress. If you fall under any of those categories, you really need to listen to this episode.
It's pretty much nobody. Pretty much nobody.
and everybody. Because we're not going to talk about what's behind the buttons that are to be pushed. We're going to talk about the why and what they do, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, the word tech is used so many different ways. And a lot of time, there's so many different areas that technology can be applied to a bank that, like, you know, as a marketer, a lot of tech is not relevant. I mean, you're talking about, like, the, you know, the fundamental, like, core processing technology, or, you know, the user interface of your mobile app and that type of stuff, where it's, like, tangentially related to marketing. Like, it's stuff you might talk about in marketing, but I think we're talking about something a little different here of, you know, tools that can make marketing easier. Things that, you know, a marketing department at a bank should have, because, I mean, like, a good app UI or a good app technology is important, but that in and of itself isn't driving new customers. It's not helping you manage your digital presence. So we wanted to kind of dive in here on the tech in the realm of marketing.
And one of the things I think that will be great about this conversation today, too, is that we don't represent any particular platform or any particular, you know, CRM or anything like that. We as agencies are looking at it from the bank or financial institution's perspective and what's best for you. So we get to be objective, Dan, and talk about, again, the utilization and the different key elements of this from that perspective. So we're not trying to pitch Coke or Pepsi or Ford or Chevy. We really don't care. What we care about is performance for the organizations that we're working with. So
yeah,
I think that's a beneficial part of this conversation today.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about specific. I mean, we may mention a couple specific, you know, tech platforms, but the goal here is talk about different types of technology, and, you know, and then vendor selection is a whole other discussion.
There you go.
But figure out what types of technology you need. It's real easy to. It's real easy to, like, get pulled into a sales pitch or be at a convention and, you know, hear the promise of something and kind of get pulled into it. But, you know, the technology itself isn't going to solve problems. It's right. It's how you use it. Like, the tech is only going to solve a problem if you already have that problem. But, you know, as marketers, we tend to have an eye out for, you know, it's easy to make a piece of tech sound like it's going to solve everything that's wrong. But if you don't have those problems to begin with, you know, the ROI isn't there. The you know, benefit of spending the time on it isn't there. So we really just, today I'm hoping to, as simply as we can, kind of break down some of the fundamental areas of tech that, you know, bank marketing team should be thinking about. And give you that unbiased look.
There you go. One of the premises of this show is to make your life easier and to make your life better and to help with your performance. And lots of those kind of things. So we're actually going to talk about how tech can and should be doing that for you personally as the listener, and for your organization as well. And Dan, we all have certain health or mental health or all of the above maladies about us to one extent or another. And one of those in this tech world that's really dangerous is having undiagnosed shiny object syndrome. And man, even us in the agency world and the marketing world, it's so easy to become enamored with, oh, wow, the way that this, you know, way this system loads or what kind of, what it spits out or what it does. And to spend more time, I think, on the bells and whistles and the beauty and niceties of certain software platforms rather than just, you know, making your best effort in vendor selection, et cetera, and use those and then get in and go. Yeah. I made the comment to you. I was like, look, man, if you got a 2004 Honda Accord with 200,000 miles on it and that's your groove, let's get in it and go. Let's don't spend all our time trying to become enamored with what else is out there. Let's go, regardless of your bank size.
Yeah, exactly. I talk to a lot of banks that are, they'll buy a platform or they'll get the shiny object syndrome because they see something at the convention or talk to a salesperson. And they'll get the platform and then pretty quickly realize, hey, we need like another team to just run this platform. And, you know, that's not solving a problem for anybody, right? Like, you know, I think you should be getting tech to make things easy. And that doesn't, you know, buying the fanciest stuff that's out there, you know, you don't need the Cadillac to get from point A to point B. Might be fun to have, but, you know, for a lot of this stuff, we're working on limited budgets, we're working on limited time. So if you understand the different types of things that are out there, you'll know, like, first solve the problems that you currently have. Mm. You know, if your problem is getting data all in one place, or your problem is getting a list of customers from an analytics platform over to Facebook or something like that, you know, there are tools, specific tools that do those things. Don't, you know, you don't need to get pulled into buying the whole Salesforce marketing cloud on day one. You need to develop your own processes and things like that first. So that's just the preamble to this episode is just, you know, tech should solve a problem that you already have.
Right.
Start there.
Don't start Googling for new platforms at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily what you need. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, you and I both as agency owners and involvement with various associations are both presenters and we both do a lot of writing and all of that. And recently you were published in the St. Louis Business Journal with an article that was just about this. And I think it's a great outline for our talk today because what you did is you broke it into five segments and five key areas, I think, around tech and the utilization of it and all that. So I'd love for us to walk through that today. And I think for our listeners is going to help make a lot of sense and get some really tangible takeaways as well.
Yeah. So, you know, there's dozens of different types of technology, especially in marketing. There's lots of blogs out there that, you know, make these diagrams with like 7,000 startup logos in it. And so, the goal of, and we'll link to the article in the show notes, but like the goal of that is not to train everybody on all the technology there is. It's just to try to get you thinking about, as a bank, like what are kind of the fundamental pieces of tech I should be thinking about, right? If you're a $2-4 billion bank, like you're probably doing a lot of this already. You've gotten to that size because you've got a sophisticated, you know, approach to data and approach to marketing. Like you can't market to millions of people without some kind of tool. But you know, if you're smaller than that, which I think a lot of our listeners are, like you need to kind of know what's out there and know what can help with what. To get into it, the five areas that I tend to think about are data management. So the stuff that obviously manages your data and helps you, you know, use it better. Automation, which are, you know, how to get data right to somewhere that can actually send a marketing campaign, whether it's Facebook or direct mail. Third one is tag management. So how do you track, how do you pull data from your website and how do you, you know, understand what's going on your website and where people on your website are coming from? Do they come from an ad? Are they current customers? That type of stuff. Number four is reputation management. which is, this is probably the simplest area of this, but just keeping track of your like online reviews and business listings. And then the last area is analytics and reporting. So how do you take information that you're like your data management platform might churn out, or how do you look at that website, the website behavior data and other things in a way that makes sense, not just to the digitally savvy, but to the bank overall, so you can help make strategic decisions for the direction of their bank from it. So I think we'll kind of get into these, but that's just, those are the five areas overview. And again, there's, I could come up with like 15 different things, 15 other things, right? I used to work for a data management platform company, a startup. So I know a lot about that space. There's like lots of different names for it, you know, so there's a lot of nuance in these things, but I'm trying to kind of distill it down to areas that are just easy to start thinking about.
As you introduced this in the article, you know, you called it out and said, this is applicable to thousands of companies, but the important thing to focus on is not necessarily what others are doing or using, or like you mentioned, Salesforce and Oracle, is those are, you know, a couple of big staples in that sector. But to focus on what it is that you need. What does your, in other episodes of the Bank Marketing Show, so many times, Dan, we talk about your bank's personality. What is your bank's superpower and all of that? So just because a lookalike or similar bank one state over, and a buddy of yours is the marketing director or the COO over there, and they're using one system, does not necessarily mean that's applicable for yours. So staying in your lane of what this is and breaking it down. So I love these five key areas that you outlined. And around that premise of being focused on what it is that you need, let's dive into those. So yes, Dan, a lot of your key background is around data management. So share some more experience, strength, and hope around data management for us.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of buzz, there's a lot of talk in the industry now about like becoming data-driven or digital transformation and those types of things that can apply to all those mobile apps and, you know, online banking type of technologies as well. But what I'm really talking about here is getting your data collected in a place that makes it useful for marketing purposes, right? So not building a super accurate, ultra detailed, like tracking system that can be used for regulatory purposes or like take over some of the core processing tech, you know, functions that are out there. But something like, I think the bar for marketing analytics and marketing usage is quite a bit lower than for regulatory or compliance, or even for, you know, strategic decisions or credit risk and, you know, what types of, how to offer a new type of checking account. What we're talking about here is like, how can we just sort of like gather data? Like what's important for marketing is getting all the data on a customer, right? But if you miss some transactions or you miss an account or two, it's not really going to directly change your campaigns. You know, it's usually those last couple accounts that are super hard. Like you may have a third-party credit card program and you're never going to get that data from the credit card company. But that, you know, it'd be great to have it. But what we're really talking about is how do you get data from mortgage department and data from your DDA accounts and from wealth management, from your debit cards and whatnot into kind of one place where you can then say, hey, this customer, you start doing things like next best offer analysis of like, here's what we should talk to this customer about.
And Dan, do you see as often as I do, unfortunately, I guess particularly smaller banks that have issues around what you were just talking about is the mortgage, to, you know, the loan officers are using one set of or approach or tool for data management, and wealth management is using a different one or whatever,
Exactly. Like the smaller banks, especially the mortgage department, may have their own CRM system, right? Mm-hmm. Where they're calling on leads or like the website form for mortgages goes to them, but it only goes to them. It's an email. It's not logged in a database anywhere. It's an email that then the loan officer picks up the phone and calls. You know, or the loan officer talks to a lot of ag banks where the loan officer is doing research on the farms and the families in the area and calling them or stopping by. And it's in their phone. It's in their like an Excel spreadsheet, right? And so there's, you know, and a lot of banks should stop me there and say like, well, yeah, but that's how we get loans. But if you had more of the full picture of that person, or you know, you knew more of, you could look at where the best customers come from, what region of your service area. You could run some marketing campaigns on there to do brand awareness and help make that sales process shorter. So there's still a need to get, you know, to get that data in.
And would one of your other departments also know that they could be a likely candidate for another product or service?
If you can, on the flip side, if you've got a bunch of deposit accounts and there are customers that only have a deposit account, you could do analysis. If you had the data in one spot, you could do some analysis to like show which ones may be ready for a loan or which of these customers does it look like a mortgage payment is going to a different bank every month. Or which of these customers make a credit card payment to another bank every month and get them into a campaign where the loan officer can call them, talk about a refi, not this year, I guess, but like, you know, talk about other services, talk about other things that you have, but you need that connection back and forth. And again, we're not talking for most small banks, we're not talking about real time, like the really big banks, the Wells Fargo's and Citibank's and Banks of America, like they're trying to do real time things like trigger campaigns where they see you spend, you know, a dollar somewhere and you get an email in 5 minutes. Small banks don't necessarily need to do that, but you need to like understand generally, you know, the patterns of your customer and try to kind of bucket them in ways to send more relevant campaigns to them. And then, I think the first part is just collecting data, being able to run some analysis, even if it's like a manual, you know, pivot table, but just some method of, I think small banks, maybe a customer data platform, data management platform is Excel, you know, but it's done in a way that you can pass that data over to other departments or do analysis and pass a customer list to other departments. And then as you grow, there are tools, you know, there's data management tools that you can set up integrations and pull in data automatically. You can do it, you know, as you grow, you do it more often, right? Maybe the pivot table is once a month, but you do it more often. And, you know, as you grow beyond that, there's even more automated tools like MCIFs and tools like that, that, you know, do even more, pull in even more data, automate more of the analytics. So when we talk about like a data platform, you don't have to think about a, you know, a six-figure a year investment, right? It's not, there's a way to do this no matter what the size of your bank is.
I think that's a great point. And again, it's not always about the latest bell or whistle, you know, or platform. So as you get this side of that outline for data management, you started to touch on what, number one, makes life easier, makes your job easier. And number two, is of greater consequence, which is automation. So, and that's kind of your second big piece in this. So talk to us about automation a little bit and your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I think about automation like what do you do with the analytics that you get out of your data platform? Great. You can sit back and do next best offer and know for, you know, customer Dave, you know, Dave, the customer, that he should see a HELOC ad, right? Or like that's the next best offer for him. Automation is almost moving to like next best action, right? What do we do with that, right? Not, you know, an offer is just like product based, but action is, you know, customer based. How does Dave interact? Has he responded to text messages in the past, or does he only respond from email? Do we need to call him? What works best for Dave? What works best for this type of product? And then the automation part is, how do we get all that data? How do we get all that information from like a data platform to the platform that actually gets in front of the customer? So pulling a list of emails, you know, to contact or your email platform, pulling a list of addresses and names and sending it off to a direct mail provider, uploading emails to Facebook to try to run a campaign there, those types of things. So there are, you know, separate automation tools that let you do that, that will, you know, onboard the data digitally or really just a lot of maybe the constant contact program you have, you can just upload it can be as simple as like uploading a list of emails in an Excel file. A lot of the email tools let you do that. But as you grow, it's another example where the small banks, maybe you just upload a new email list once a month, right? And you know, you can do that pretty quickly. But, you know, as you grow and you get more and more data, and if you've got a million customers, it's really hard. Those lists get unwieldy to work with. So there are tools that come in where it will pull it directly from your data platform.
And I think a good point to what you were just saying is some of the platforms that you're using probably have some automations that you may not even be taking advantage of.
Yeah.
Such as email marketing platforms that automate birthday, for example.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Why are you not just a simple automated email telling your customers happy birthday?
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and that gets into like triggered campaigns, like, hey, every day it's sending out customer birthday emails. You can set up a email series that when a new customer pops into the list, you know, you send them an onboarding sequence for the first 4 or 5 weeks, building trust with them, showing off the bank, telling them about other products or upcoming events and those types of things. So that, yeah, and that's the other kind of part of it. Automation is helping you get data in faster, get data in more frequently. Mm-hmm. And then doing more with it, setting up the trigger campaigns. You can start to think about, instead of, hey, what email are we sending this month to all of our customers? It's, here's the onboarding sequence. Here's the birthday email. Here's the, you know, here's a quarterly email we just send to, you know, mortgage customers, or here's an email we send to mortgage customers that have a higher interest rate than the current rates. And we can talk to them about, you know, HELOCs or, you know, refis and those types of things.
Yeah. Or even just ticker systems, reminder systems that are built into CRMs.
Yeah.
That just, oh man, I haven't touched base with this group in 6 months.
Yep.
So, you know, it needs to spit out a list of X number of customers and actually physically get on the phone and call them, or, you know, whatever the case may be. So automations don't necessarily mean, as you're saying, these massive platforms that do, you know, all the things. It can be better utilizations of the ones that you've got and integrations with the marketing platforms that are of concern.
Yeah.
Social, direct mail, email, whatever they may be.
Yeah.
Great thoughts there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's, you know, there's tools like HubSpot. I'm not, you know, trying to sell that. We're not a proponent of any one platform in particular, but like HubSpot does a lot of, you know, the data management and the automation features, and has a lot of the stuff we're talking about. There are platforms that do all that. It just, depending on how often, you know, is there really a benefit for your bank in updating that data daily? Does it change that often for you? Are you big enough where that matters? You know, are you big? It may be a small bank, only 3 customers' information changes daily, but for a bigger bank, it could be tens of thousands. And then it makes sense, you know, there's a value in updating it, and there's a value in, you know, getting on a bigger platform, but you don't need it. You might not need it if you're small. That's where we go back to the beginning, where it's like, think about the problem that you have, right? The problem might not be that your data is not refreshed daily. It might just be that you don't have it in one place. So, you know, go back to the basics before you start to try to find a platform that solves it. Think about the task that you want to get accomplished, and then find the platform that fits it.
So Dan, I know another big piece and kind of the next chunk in your list of key areas here is tag management. And yeah, there's this little system called Google. It's a search engine platform that people may be familiar with that, people don't fully understand, I think, the scope and the importance of your own data, your own responsiveness, your own reporting, all of those things that are necessary through search engine, through the search engine world.
Yeah.
And so tag management is truthfully not that difficult. And most banks, you know, have some type of a partner like your agency or mine that can do that as a one-time thing. But talk a little bit about tag management and the importance and the benefits of it.
Yeah, I mean, tag management at its core is just like putting a single line of code on each page of your website, right? A lot of banks already have this figured out. Google Tag Manager is a free tool and the one that almost everybody uses. And you can create an account. You can grab that chunk of code, put it across your website. And the implementation of it is super simple and free. But what it lets you do is, one, a couple different things. One, makes it really easy to add other tags, like your Facebook pixel, like tracking tags for other ad platforms. If you did have something like HubSpot, HubSpot's got its own tag, you know, so you can tell when customers are on your site. Lots of different things, but it lets you add those tags to your website through the tag manager interface rather than having to know code. you know, on most website tools like Banno and some of the off-the-shelf like CMSs for that, like the core processors do, there's just a place for like the tag manager code and it'll throw it on your site for you. So it's really easy to implement, but it's really powerful stuff. So like with Google Tag Manager specifically, it also unlocks Google Analytics and some of the free reporting tools that Google has. And what all that enables you to do is look at website behavior, right? You can start to tell what percentage of people on our website are new customers and what percentage are returning visitors, what percentage immediately just click onto online banking, right? By which you can infer that they're current customers. How long do people spend on the site? How many pages do they visit? When you get more sophisticated, like the tools like HubSpot, you can trigger a campaign if somebody visits the loan page. HubSpot might be able to figure out their email, even if they haven't logged into your site, and you know, you can trigger a campaign to them. And some of that stuff borders on the creepy. So there might be other reasons you don't want to do it, but just by having a tag on there, it unlocks all these analytics and, you know, insights. Even if you're not doing trigger campaigns off of it, you can get a lot of insights into how people are using your website.
You know, even as simple of an example as geographies. And yeah, looking at one of our clients that has five branches in different areas, and the utilization of this information because they're trying to really build the activity and the traffic from one. And, you know, and we're putting marketing efforts in place to do that. So how are we going? Yes, we're going to measure conversions from digital ads and those types of things too. But just simply looking, you know, through the analytics that you're describing, at is there an uptick in traffic there, even just from growing the brand, you know, over, you know, in X community where this other branch is? So many different ways to use that data, Dan.
Yeah, and I, you know, it's a easy implementation. It's a small tool, but it's just important, right? It's free and it's easy, but the value you get out of it is huge. So even if you don't quite know what you're going to do with it yet, like everybody on this listening to this should have, you know, some kind of tag manager on their site, even if you're months away from needing to use the data, because then you get the history. You know, if you're going to start in 2023 and you implement it now, you're going to have 4 or 5 months of data to go back and look at, and trends and what happens to, you know, when are more people on the loan pages versus the deposit account pages as the seasons change, and those types of things that are super important to help make decisions.
Yeah. Dan, the next one in your list is reputation management. And I crack myself up because as I stepped into the marketing world decades ago and started learning about reputation management and what that was, well, I'm a parent too. So anybody that's listening to this that is the parent of particularly a teenager or a young adult is very concerned about reputation management.
Yeah.
and I say that because we're trying to coach our children up, you know, as concerns for their reputation, whether that be their skill sets or whatever the case may be. But I'm not sure that we pay enough attention to it with as we should with the companies that we work with. And so, what does reputation management mean in this tech sense? And what are some thoughts about some of the ways that we should be concerned about it and doing something about it?
Yeah, I mean, reputation management tools do two things. One, help you manage your online reviews. And mm-hmm. two, make sure that your listings, you sort of think about yellow pages or white pages listings across the internet are accurate. So we can kind of talk about both of those. I mean, reviews are reviews. Everybody sort of familiar with that. But if you've got multiple branches, it can be kind of a pain to keep, you know, Google My Business set up, and you have to log into different branches to mm-hmm. respond to reviews. If your alerts aren't set up properly, you may miss a review. It can be time consuming. So like a reputation management tool consolidates all that. You know, all your Google My Business listings, Yelp, Facebook, anywhere you can think of where people can leave a review.
Yeah, YP.com. This is a massive list. All the mapping softwares. Yeah. Yeah, there's just massive numbers of them, right?
Into one inbox. And, you know, and then you can just kind of march through it and respond.
Mm-hmm.
they'll also have some tools. A lot of them include tools that pre-made emails that you can send out to your customer base and ask for reviews. The type of thing where they get tricky. And, you know, if you've seen the type of emails that could send like, how was your experience with us today? And it's like, you know, 1 to 5 stars. And if you click 5 stars, it brings you directly to a Google review listing. If you click 1 star, it like opens up a customer service email so that people aren't leaving 1-star reviews in a public place. So there's some tools. It's just really simple stuff, but they're, you know, it's another area that's super easy to implement. These tools carry some cost, but usually it's not too prohibitive. And, you know, just helps you respond to these things faster. The more sophisticated ones also, you know, might do some kind of social listening permissions of your bank or helping you to respond to comments. But depending on your bank size, you know, you might not need that. And frankly, if you're only a couple locations, you might not need the review listing part of reputation management. But the business listings part is pretty hard for banks of any size to deal with.
And so many people don't understand the importance of it. That it's not just making sure that your business hours are up there correctly, or maybe those might change seasonally, or your drive-through hours are probably different than your lobby hours and all that. But it's even way more than that, and how this even impacts SEO.
Yeah.
And those types of things, when you have inaccuracies across all these different directories and citations, that you didn't do it.
Right.
Dan, I've had so many conversations with like a new marketing director, someone that just got hired or moved into that position. And we start having discussions about this and like, man, you've got inaccuracies across all these different directories and citations. And they're like, wow, boy, did the previous marketing director just screw up all these things? Like, no. No, it's not that at all. It's, you know, when a phone number changed and, you know, one thing picked it up and another didn't, or, you know, some are under their legal name, you know, not the bank name as it's known, you know, in a marketing sense or whatever the case may be. And there's just all these things and it's nobody's fault. It's all these different that pick it up and manage it. But if you're not touching all of it,
yeah, it can be a mess. There's like 200 or more, 200 or 300 different listing sites out there. Mm-hmm. So it is like the YP.com and Yelp and Apple Maps and Google Maps and those like the obvious ones. But then there's hundreds more that just like pull publicly available information and they make their own website and put advertising on it. And they're trying to make, you know, some advertising dollars and trying to get their site to show up in search. And, you know, they're not necessarily the most useful businesses, right? People just trying to kind of play website traffic arbitrage, which there's a lot of out there on the internet. But Google, you know, Google from a SEO and search perspective wants to see very consistent information. Like the more consistent your information, your business information is out there, the more highly you'll rank for a lot of things. So if you've got different phone numbers and different addresses all over the place, you know, Google isn't going to rank you as highly because it doesn't want to show some stuff to customers or to searchers that's confusing. So I mean, the trick is getting, it's impossible to get, you know, let's see, even if you only have 3 branches, let's say, then you're talking about 3 branches, 3 sets of branch information across 200 or 300 listing sites. It's impossible, right? So the other thing that these reputation management tools do is, you know, they have integrations with those sites and they, you know, every couple of weeks or every, you know, month or two, they re-push your information out to all these sites because these sites are also continually pulling publicly available information out there. And so even if something's right today, it could be wrong tomorrow. So part of what the tool does is push all of that out there. Make sure that it's correct, make sure that it's continually updated. And, you know, it's super important. I'd say like almost every bank I've ever talked to has moved a branch location, changed a phone number, acquired a bank and changed the name, you know, and so there's, and that information sticks out there for a long time.
Yeah. So Dan, we have been through data management, automation, tag management, reputation management, and then I think the encapsulation of this, or one of the biggest and most important pieces of this whole tech discussion, you know, is about analytics and reporting. What you've got, what you're doing with it, how it's reported, and is it going in a figuratively or literally in a drawer, and you know what's happening with it. So talk to us some about analytics and reporting.
Yeah. Well, I hinted at this with tag management, but you know, when you tag up your site, you can get access to Google Analytics, which is another free tool that gives you just a wealth of information about website behavior, where people are coming from, what they're doing, how long they're staying, where they go to after, all that stuff. But it can be hard to understand that, right? Like the Google Analytics interface is not very user-friendly. You kind of have to do some training or tutorial on it. And as a bank marketer, that's probably, you probably do need to be familiar with it, but it's not going to be very useful to your leadership team if it's hard to read and understand. So we talked about like analytics tools of just getting at that information, and then also reporting tools of how do we make it make sense to, you know, the non-digitally savvy. So there's lots of tools out there that do this. We use, you know, we like to use one, another free Google tool called Data Studio, where you can pull in lots of different website information. So we have a report for clients that, you know, Chris, you mentioned geography, that just shows a map of the US and where their website traffic's coming from. And it's interesting to, you know, can be interesting to see that stuff. We look at the top visited pages and time spent on site. And if you're running Google Ads, you know, we can pull in clicks and keyword lists and that type of stuff all in one report that, you know, you can send out on an automated basis. Data Studio, like, doesn't integrate with like Google and Facebook, and these other platforms don't always play well with each other. So it doesn't always integrate. You can't always pull in all your Facebook social information, or you can, but you have to get another tool that can cost some money to just pull the information in. But so that's kind of the only downfall of it. But if you think about it as a, you know, website and you know, ad performance tool, it's free. There's a little learning curve to set it up, but the benefit is, you know, you can make reports that are very easy to understand.
And really, really important information, such as where are people short-stopping in the process that you want them to be going through on your website.
Yeah. Where do they leave the website? Or yeah.
So that just as one example of the importance of analyzing and utilizing the reports and the data from that.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you could run a report like, what's the most common page on our site that people leave from? Right. You can see, a bunch of people reach the checking account page and then leave. Maybe we need to beef up the checking account page, right? And make it easier to read, or put a contact form or the phone number right on that page. So it can lead to a lot of little insights like that, that can make a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you and I were talking about it, and you lightly mentioned a moment ago, like when you're looking at your social platforms, and there are other tools, such as Sprout Social and Hootsuite and other ones out there. And again, it's not to give specific endorsements here. It's whatever is fitting for you. But if you're really active on your social platforms as it should be, or working with an organization or an agency like us that's doing that for you or alongside you, again, utilizing the reporting and the analytics from that is really important, not guessing that you're actually having an impact with your marketing. Or guessing it while you're not.
Yeah, I mean, right. You know, the Google Analytics report will tell you how many people came to your site from Facebook, how many people came to your site from paid ads versus, you know, unpaid ads or organic traffic. But, you know, a specific social media tool will get into a lot more information about like which of your posts were the most engaging. Right. You can find trends. There's one bank we work with that, you know, it's pretty clear from that tool to tell that like any post where there's a picture of a person versus a stock image performs a lot better. And so that led us to like, let's make a lot more posts about with pictures of people. And we increased engagement on their social page a lot. But it's hard, you know, the built-in tools. Facebook's got some built-in tools, built-in like reporting. But it can be a little clunky to use. And it's like Google Analytics, where you kind of have to know what you're doing, and it changes all the time. So like if you have a tool like Sprout or Hootsuite, there's great ways to do that. And those are pretty inexpensive tools as well.
It translates. It does a lot of the translating for you to usable data that you can actually take actionable steps.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest problem, yeah. I mentioned this a little in the data management section too, is like the biggest problem is not just, it's a problem to get access to the data, but then the next problem you run into is like, what do I do with all this stuff? Mm. What is important and what's not? You know, the more specialized tools tend to make the what's important piece easier.
Yeah. Well, Dan, moving toward wrap up here, again, you and I were sharing, and I thought it might be really valuable for you to kind of shed a little light on what and how you see this out in the field with different size banks and financial institutions.
Yeah, well, I tried to think about, there's just, you know, there's a lot of information here. And I tried to think about, like, you know, how does this change depending on your bank's size, right? Like a $200 million bank does not need an MCIF unless you're trying to like triple in size and take over a market. Like I have met with banks in that size that have one or are interested in getting one, but it's a big investment, right? So if you're trying to grow rapidly, it may make sense to make those investments. But for the most part, you know, what I'd recommend to a smaller bank, let's say under 300 million or so, is like, if you don't have anything yet, start with Google Tag Manager and a mm-hmm. reputation management tool, right? Get the tag up on your site. Make sure you're looking at online reviews, trying to get more reviews. That's like the biggest thing that'll help you is getting more reviews and getting your business listings cleaned up, because that will give you an SEO boost without having to do a lot of website work. Like, mm-hmm. The website work will help too, but like you'll get a boost just from that. And having Google Tag Manager up will let you start getting into Google Analytics and understanding what's happening on your website. As a bank gets bigger, you know, I think up to 750 million or a billion, most banks in those sizes are starting to kind of implement the customer data, you know, a real customer database, whether it's an MCIF or a tool like HubSpot that just pulls in lead information. Maybe you're starting to use your core's data, or you can do a data export and throw it into Excel pivot table once a month or every so often to just get a mm-hmm. different look at it. Maybe you're starting to, you know, you have automation on the level of, we have an email tool, we have Constant Contact, and we pull in an email list, or maybe we have an onboarding trigger campaign and that's it. And then when you get over the 750 billion mark, obviously I think it starts to diverge a bit, right? Based on the goals of the bank. At that point, you've got some money to invest in these things. It makes sense to start getting cleaner data, to start doing more automation and start, you know, looking at the data more often, you know, not a once a month pivot table, but a daily import into an analytics tool that where you've got a dashboard and you're looking at more specific customer trends. And then there's whole other worlds of tools that just, you know, can simplify life for the bank marketer that tend to start getting kind of expensive, but you know, you can really get into some custom integrations and customizing some of these tools as well for your specific goals. So I go back to just saying, like, there's a way to start implementing marketing technology for a bank of any size. It doesn't have to be all of this or nothing. There's a couple of things you can do no matter your size. So,
and I want to offer both of us as a resource also, because anybody listening to this going, okay, well, maybe we can do this, maybe, you know, and wants to have that conversation a little further, even just for us sharing best practices that we're seeing, you know, is invite folks to reach out to Dan or reach out to me through our website and just go, hey, can I just have a conversation and give me a little more info about what you were talking about, you know, with the automation part or the whatever the case may be. So it's reaching out to others that are in the field like us and see what they're doing and figuring out your own best practices, depending on your bank size, as you're saying. But I think those are some great practical pointers. It's to kind of either where to A, get started, Dan, or B, kind of move to the next level from where you are as far as the right use of tech.
Yeah, absolutely. It's usually a quick conversation when I'm happy to have. I love talking about this stuff and just help point people in the right direction.
Awesome. Well, and Dan, that kind of leads us to the closeout of this episode. I know that also coming up for folks, we've got some really cool ones in the books that are forthcoming. Campaign creation, practical campaign creation, I know is another one that we've got forthcoming, and we've got some great guests lined up for future episodes of Bank Marketing Show, some conference presenters and CMOs and bank marketing directors, that type of thing too. So we've got some good stuff coming up for folks as well.
Yeah. Yep.
Wonderful. Well, we'll have show notes from this episode on our website, bankmarketingshow.com. I know that we have mentioned a number of platforms, Dan, and resources and those types of things. So we'll probably have a pretty lengthy list of some of those that folks can look into, again, as long as they don't get into shiny object syndrome, right?
Right. Don't go, then put the credit card away. Don't go buy everything.
There you go.
As you're going through the list.
Absolutely. Well, man, this has been great. A big part of the purpose of our show also, Dan, is to give practical and implementable information to folks. And all of this around tech in this day and age is extremely important. So thanks for bringing your expertise into this and shedding a lot of light, and hope it's been valuable for our folks today.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody that's still listening at this point. And again, feel free to reach out. We're happy to talk through this stuff, and good luck on your tech journey.
There you go. Awesome. Thanks a lot, Dan. Have a great one.
Yeah, you too, Chris.
Okay, talk to you soon.
Thanks for joining us. To go deeper or get access to some of the valuable nuggets from today's show, go to bankmarketingshow.com. There you'll find episodes, links to resources, and much more. Be sure to subscribe wherever you find your podcasts. And join us next time.